I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. Well, you join us this week on a second visit to Warwick, where we're guests of the Warwick Arts Centre at the University of Warwick, conveniently located here in Coventry. After her capture, Mary Queen of Scots was held at Coventry Castle. As a royal, Mary felt entitled to appropriate accommodation. Held in rooms which Mary first complained were too dark, Queen Elizabeth ordered bigger windows to be put in. Mary then complained that the rooms were damp, so Elizabeth ordered that larger fireplaces be built. Mary then complained that her bed was lumpy, so Elizabeth ordered she be given a feather mattress. Mary then complained her ceilings were too low. Mary's principal supporters were the MacDonald clan, which after her death was torn apart by the Scottish Reformation, with father and son on opposing sides. Young MacDonald was a staunch Protestant and supporter of King James. But as his father refused to renounce Catholicism, old MacDonald was burned as a heretic, veretic, everywhere a tick-tick. You hardly gave me a chance with that. In August 1642, the first skirmish between the Roundheads and Cavaliers of the Civil War took place at nearby Curdworth. There's a display in the village hall of various relics, including the first musket ball fired, which actually hit the church bell, started the English Civil War, and won a Roundhead a goldfish that died on the way home. Warwick was the birthplace of the musical performer Billy Oliver. Generally regarded as the father of stand-up comedy, Billy's laugh was said to be infectious. In 1918, he contracted Spanish flu, told a joke over breakfast, and killed his entire family. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Tony Hawks. On my right, Timbrook Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And please welcome the lovely lady who can never wait to score on the desk next to me, the delightful Samantha. Okay, well, we start this week with a round of Uxbridge English Dictionary. The English language provides many precise definitions, but these can be confusing. For example, while out in the countryside observing deer, most of us probably don't know how to tell the difference between does and hinds. Well, does are the reproductive females up to the age of 5 years. Interestingly, the term also applies to certain other mammals, such as hares and goats, whereas hinds make baked beans. However, words are constantly changing their meaning. So, teams, let's hear any new definitions you'd spotted recently. Tim, can you start us?
Feckless. Irish no swearing rule.
Barry?
Easily. Rather like an easel.
Tony?
Caramel. Toffee with one hump.
Jeremy?
Harpist, partially sober.
Parasites, what you can see from the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Subordination, installation of a priest underwater.
Brisket, fast-moving, grumpy old man. Dissuade, to insult hush puppies.
Benign, what you'll be after you're eight.
Pinafore, half a football result. Orientate, the other half of the football.
Filipino, Brian's lesser-known brother.
Oh, Filipino.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
Brian Eno.
Mace, what the Queen puts traps down for.
Flashpoint, Hampstead Heath.
Really?
Eliminate, Yorkshire request for a soft drink.
Livelihood, an exuberant gangster.
I, Claudius, digital emperor. Eyelash, digital whip. Eyeglass, digital tumbler. Eyepatch, something to stick on your bottom to help you get over computers.
Well, the teams are going to sing along with some well-known discs now in the round called Pick Up Song. Samantha made her usual visit to the record library earlier, where she discovered the kindly old archivists have been petitioning for her to be promoted to management level. They believe that women in the workplace are being held back and could contribute so much if outmoded sexist opinions were overcome. Samantha says the archivists don't expect any favours in return. It would be reward enough for them just to see her crack up through the glass ceiling. Can we have the defibrillator for Barry, please? Samantha is back at the turntable and ready to give the discs a spin. You should sing along, teams, until Samantha turns the volume down. If, when the music returns, you're within a gnat's crotchet of the original, I'll be awarding points. And points mean where you plug your hoovers in. What do points mean? This week's prize will delight any pest controller who enjoys a bowl of cereal for breakfast. It's a year's supply of Kellogg's Lice Krispies. Now, Barry, you're to start, and I'd like you to accompany Harry Nilsson singing the number one when this show was first broadcast, Without You.
No, I can't forget this evening, or your face as you were leaving. But I guess that's just the way the story goes. You always smile, but in your eyes your sorrow shows. Yes, it shows. No, I can't forget tomorrow when I think of all my sorrow. When I had you there, but then I let you go. And now it's only fair that I should let you know what you should know. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can't live if living is without you. I can't live. I can't give any more.
Here we go.
I can't live if living is without you. I can't give.
Thank you, Barry. Well done for starting a sing-song here in Coventry. OK, well, you're next, Tim. I'd like you to accompany little Jimmy Osmond singing another hit of 1972, Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool.
pull on anything you say. I'll be your clown or your puppet or your April Fool if you'll be my sunshine daisy from L.A. I'll be a leprechaun and sit upon an old toadstool. I'll serenade you till I'm old and gay, grey. I'll be your long-haired lover from Liverpool. You'll be my sunshine daisy from L.A.
You now, Tony, can you accompany Donny Osmond singing Puppy Love?
And they called it Puppy Love. Oh, I guess they'll never know how a young heart really feels and why I love her so. And they call it puppy love just because we're in our teens. Tell them all, please, it isn't fair to take away.
Puppy Love, that was Tony Hawks there being incredibly disturbing. And finally, would you, Jeremy, please accompany the Carpenters singing Sing.
Sing, sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong, sing of good things, not bad. Sing of happy, not sad. Sing, sing a song. Make it simple to last your whole life long.
What?
Don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing. Sing a song.
La 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 la
la la la la la la. Well, in the next game, the teams are going to boast about the fascinating aspects of their lives. It's not a long round. People often think it's a glitzy life, touring with a show like this, but in fact, you're just living in a different hotel every night. After last week's show, when we got back to our hotel, Barry said he didn't know what room he was in, so we gently explained he was in what we call the restaurant. OK, well, the teams will take the roles of guests at a party boasting about something, where each must try to outdo the preceding boaster. When I sound my gong once, the teams have to change the topic of conversation. If I gong twice, it's the end of the round. So, Tim, you can start.
I was in the newspapers last week for my charity work.
Interesting you saying that. I was in the paper the other day. I was dancing with Simon Cowell for charity.
Well, I was in.
Really?
I was in the paper because I saved Simon Cowell's life. This isn't going very well, is it?
I was in the paper because I killed him.
All right.
I've got a new app. It tells me, you know, where I am and what I'm doing, and it's great to be here in Edinburgh.
I've got an app that tells everyone within 50 miles that I've got an iPhone.
I've got a candle. That's a Kindle that gives you the light to read by.
I've got an app that all I have to do is I punch in someone's phone number and then their phone rings and then I can talk to them through my phone. It's amazing.
You're lying.
It's like they're there in the next room.
What a breakthrough.
I know.
I've got an app that comes up with really witty lines for panel games. It's not working that well at the moment.
I've had an operation. I've had two polyps removed.
Oh, well, I've had two polyps removed and then grafted onto my face so that I can be the subject of a Channel 4 documentary.
I've just had my 12th penis reduction operation.
I've had my black hair dyed white in a failed attempt to look older.
I've had a complete face transplant, but the trouble is I just now just got a huge breast where my head used to be.
Hence your nickname.
Now, people often ask me what the teams get up to when they're not doing this. Well, they all keep busy doing something. You may have heard Tim on last week's Moneybox phone-in recession special giving benefits advice to the unemployed. The lines were really busy that day, so Tim was lucky to get through. The next round is called Eggheads, and it's our version of the TV quiz that boasts it has the greatest team in Britain. OK, teams, here's your selection of egg-related questions. So here's the first question. It's for Tim. What was it once the custom for French brides to do with an egg?
Careful.
Cut it in half. Merci.
She would step on it before crossing the threshold of their new home. Tony, how does Queen Elizabeth II like her eggs?
Poached in the tears of Nicholas Witchell.
Actually, she likes her eggs from New Zealand, apparently.
Gripping.
Barry, name five places with egg in them.
Morrison's. You want the other? Sainsbury's, Tesco's, etc.
Yes, all right. I've got Eggby Zurich, a Swiss municipality, the Isle of Egg in the Scottish Inner Hebrides, Eggington near Leighton Buzzard, Egg Harbour in New Jersey, USA, and Egg Island in the Bahamas, which is inhabited only by chickens. Although no one actually knows who got there first. Jeremy, in China, why would you hold a red egg party?
Because you don't have any choice.
It's actually to name a baby. You do that in China. Tim, what problem does the domesticated male turkey suffer from that makes him unable to fertilise the female turkey's eggs?
Christmas.
Just a good... I think it's because he prefers a gobble.
What? Is that accurate?
it's because we've bred turkeys' breasts so large, the males can no longer mate properly, and the females have to be artificially inseminated.
Mm. Yeah, that's quite interesting.
Wouldn't stop me.
With a turkey.
Why do I keep thinking of Katie Price? I don't know.
Finally, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. The mating position of frogs involves the male clasping the female as she lays her eggs. What is the name for it?
Froggy style.
St- boy. actually, the word is amplexus. Well, here are some for any of you to have a go at. How do you order two poached eggs on toast in American diner lingo?
Yo, can I get two poached eggs on toast?
apparently what it says, Adam and Eve on a raft.
What?
No, they don't say please. according to Canadian scientists, what is a woman who eats plenty of eggs and milk likely to produce?
Country file.
more likely to produce girls. Women who eat salty food and drink lots of tea and coffee tend to produce boys. Mm-hmm. So they are. What is the name of John Stephen Fink's 1981 book listing the 182 films in which chickens or their eggs have played a role?
It's called the 182 Films in Which Chickens or Their Eggs Have Played a Role. It's published by Get a Life Press. Mm.
Yeah, well, it might as well be. It was actually called Cluck, The True History of Chickens in the Movies.
What?
People will read anything, this is the problem. Let's hope they'll listen to anything as well. Apart from a newly laid egg, what two other things were Scottish babies presented with to ensure they would always have the essentials of life?
Stanley knife and a chip pan.
That is a piece of bread and a pinch of salt. Well, it's music time again with Swanee Kazoo. Piano accompaniment will be provided by Colin Sell. And Colin's mother was telling us that she forced him to take his first ever piano lesson at 6. It's nearly 6:45 now, so he was lucky to get here on time. Barry and Tony, you can start, and I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of The Entertainer to feature Barry Cryer on the kazoo and Tony Hawks on the Swanee Whistle. Playing like that that won Barry his kazoo scholarship into the Twilight Nursing Home in Watford. You now, Tim and Jeremy, I'd like you to provide us with a rendition of the Mexican Hat Dance to feature Jeremy Hardy on the kazoo and Tim Brooke-Taylor on the Swanee Whistle. Very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for a round of the Hairy Person's Songbook. It was recently proved that celebrities who are seen on TV are more often recognised in public if they have beards. Certainly did the trick for Anthony Worrell Thompson in Tesco's. J. Jeremy was saying he's worried by the rate his hair's falling out, so we clubbed together and got him something that'll help. A vacuum cleaner. So I'll ask the teams to suggest song titles and the names of singers likely to appeal to a particularly hairy audience. You can start this one, Tony.
Thank Heaven, Follicle Girls.
Barry.
It's my parting and I'll comb if I want to.
Tim.
The Mullets of Kintyre.
Jeremy.
Comb on Eileen.
Someone shaved my wife tonight.
Down at the old Bull and Bush.
Careless Whisker. Sung by Perry Comover.
All the Young Pubes.
Oh, sorry. Give a Little Bristle.
I'll do anything for love, but I can't do plaits.
When the going gets tufty, the tufty get going.
Mustache Sally.
Oh, yes, I'm the great split ender.
Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini area.
Another her suitcase, another haul.
Oh!
Oh, I say.
With a little help from my fringe.
This is the dawning of the age of old hairy arse.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the hands of time are inadvertently trapped in the electric window of destiny, and the cyclist of fate is dragged screaming down the road by the Range Rover of eternity, I notice it's the end of the show. So, from the team, Samantha, myself, and the good people of Warwick, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Pryor, Tim Brooke-Taylor, Tony Hawkes and Jeremy Hardy were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.